Our first business in the Hare Krishna movement is to understand Srila Prabhupada's position the best we can, because as it says in the Nectar of Instruction, more or less, it takes one to know one. That unless one is a Mahabhagavat, unless one is actually on the spiritual platform, then one cannot perfectly discriminate between who's on what platform, especially the Mahabhagavats. But members of the Hare Krishna movement, they're taught the Prabhupada's the Acharya, founder Acharya, that he's a Mahabhagavat, but oftentimes the devotees just accept it officially. One reason is that they don't know their dependency upon Prabhupada and how everyone else in the society is, to one degree or another, a manifestation of Prabhupada's instructions. That every devotee is worshipable according to how he follows, to how much he's understood and followed Prabhupada's instructions. And Prabhupada's instructions mean not just Prabhupada's personal instructions, but the instructions coming from Krishna through disciple succession, and especially through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was listening to Bhakti Shumar's remembrances of Prabhupada yesterday, and he mentions that in 1977, at the end of Prabhupada's manifest appearance, November 77, just a few days before Prabhupada left the planet, the governor of, I can't remember which state in India, plus his brother, who's a wealthy industrialist, came to see Srila Prabhupada. And there were a few devotees in Prabhupada's room, and they asked if they could leave because they wanted to speak to Prabhupada personally, privately. So Prabhupada said, all right, you can, yes, his devotees in the room to leave. And then Bhakti Shri Maharaj turned on the tape recorder. And just to make sure that they found out what they were talking about. And these two gentlemen, Indian gentlemen, prominent people in India, they asked Prabhupada, after you leave, who will be the your successor? And Prabhupada's answer was, I've given the succession to all my disciples. As much as they've understood and follow, then they become the next successor. So, Krishna consciousness is not a question of official position or our material circumstance. Stane stita shutigatam tanuvang manobhir. Stane stita. Lord Brahma said, in any position, or remaining in one's own position. But one should, shrutikatam tanuvang manobhir, one should hear the scripture, and scripture doesn't mean, as we should know, scripture means things that are self-evident eventually. If we hear and assimilate the philosophy properly, then when we hear scripture, it'll be like the sun. Krishna Surya Samamaya Haya Andhakara Yahun Krishna Tahun Maya Handa Adi Adi Andhakara. That Krishna Sudharma Upagute Jnana Dharma Chapisaha Kalo Doshe Kalo Nashtak Kalo Nashtarite. I got that wrong. Try this again. Krishna Dharma Upagavate. Dharma Jnana Dibhi Saha. Kalo Nashta Drishamesha. Kalo Paranarko Dunoditaha. That now that Krishna has left the planet, apparently, Krishna Sudharma Upagavate, and returned to his own abode, apparently. Krishna Sudharma Upagavate, Dharma Jnana Japisaha. So, along with Krishna left knowledge and religiosity. Kalo Nashta Vishamesha. And therefore, what will give us vision in this dark age of Kali? Paranarako dunoditaha. So the Srimad Bhagavatam has risen just like the sun to give us the vision to those who have lost their vision in the age of Kali. So Shastra is self-evident. If we actually learn how to hear Shastra, then we'll experience it. And if we experience Shastra, then our hearts will become purified. And if our hearts become purified, then we'll actually see and experience what Shastra is talking about. Otherwise, if we don't hear Shastra, we don't have to worry about remembering it because we have nothing to remember. And even if we remember it, but if we don't try to think about it carefully, what it means to me, to my life, how to apply it in my life, and how to apply it in my life not to become rich and famous, but how to apply it in my life to become a devotee of Krishna's devotees, to establish transcendental relationships with Krishna, the devotees, the innocent, and the atheists, to have a transcendental vision of what my service is to each one of those categories. Then if I know that, that's good, and only when I actually try to apply it. And that's the tricky part, because when one tries to apply such knowledge, there'll be so many tests. One can know that knowledge theoretically, like any knowledge, but there's tests. That if I was Lord Nityananda and someone threw a rock at me, I'd pick up the rock and throw it back at them. Hit them twice as hard as they hit me. But no, Lord Nityananda, he had a different mentality. He was not theoretical. He heard in Bhagavatam you should be tolerant, but, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names get to me after a while. I mean, this is... To actually apply that philosophy of relationships with others is probably the most difficult. Because of our long absorption in material relationships, therefore, whenever we see anything in this material world, it reminds us of relationships since time immemorial, which is quite a bit of relationships. So the Acharya, he comes and he teaches us not only by theoretically, but by his example, what is the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, so we can see it. Not only theoretically, but also in practice, and hopefully have enough faith and confidence to continue on with the process. Because most of us are not going to jump to purifying our relationship so quickly. We have to get, there's a lot of experience required and a lot of understanding of what the process is. So, in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami advises us to try to see who actually is a Mahabhagavat. And we can take the easy definition and misunderstand it easily, just like anything else in the Bhagavad Gita or in any of our scriptures. We can always look for the simple explanation. The simple explanation is valuable because it's difficult for us to understand the complicated one, so we might as well start with the simple one. But we should always understand that the simple one is ultimately just to help us understand the complicated one. For instance, in the describing who's a Mahabhagavat, Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, gives us three qualifications. Does anyone know what those three qualifications are?
She doesn't predecess.
Close. You got the definition for the verse, but how can we understand who's... Because anyone can go, oh, you're all wonderful and beautiful. I'm so happy to be here giving this class because your effulgence is warming me up. And I have nothing to say bad about you because I see you're all pure devotees. And yeah, so it's good, not criticizing. That's the verse, actually. Krishna iti asi giritam mana sadriyeta dikshasti tat pranitipidus bhajam isham shushu shaya chabhajnam ananya nanya nindati. Nindati means criticism. Shunya, no criticism. Nindati shunya ridayam ipsita sangalabhya. But unless we memorize the fifth chapter, fifth verse, may not know it. Prabhupada said, one who's always chanting all his rounds without fail, who's following all the regular principles, and always thinking about how to expand the Hare Krishna movement, he should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari devotee. So pretty easily, I just, you know, how many rounds did I chant? I did 16. I thought it was an Uttama Adhikari, but this is the proof. See? Here, see counterbeats? And following all the regular principles. Well, I don't know how many there are, but I at least try to follow four of them. And always thinking about how to expand the Hare Krishna movement. Well, anyhow, who knows what I'm thinking about. I could put on a good show at least. So this is a simple definition, but the more complicated definition is at the end of the verse, where end of Prabhupada's purport, where he explains that one who knows that Krishna and Krishna's name are not different, one who knows his own spiritual identity, and one who's always thinking about how to expand the Hare Krishna movement, he should be accepted as a Mahabhagavat, and whatever one has should be offered to him, especially the brahmacharis. They go and collect, but they should offer everything to such a Mahabhagavat. But if one imitates such a Mahabhagavat, when he's actually not on that platform, then he's sure to, more than get into difficulty, probably, I think he says he's sure to fall down. He says different things in different places. Like his devotional service will slacken. He said, in this particular one, he said, eventually he'll become degraded. So it's not so easy. It's not that you say, oh, who are you? I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Well, that's good, theoretically, to know who we're not. But to actually know our spiritual identity is not so easy. One actually has to be beyond the stage of even bhava to actually fully realize one's spiritual identity and enter into it. And to know that there's no difference between Krishna and his name means that when one chants Hare Krishna, then Krishna, one is at least enters into Krishna's pastimes and personally experiences Krishna, sees Krishna face to face. And always thinking about how to expand the Hare Krishna movement, he knows that his only business is to distribute the holy name and expand the Hare Krishna movement. So to accept such a person is not so evident, because how do we know if someone, when they chant Hare Krishna, they personally experience Krishna directly? How do we know that they know their own spiritual identity? We generally don't, because one has to be on the platform. Therefore, Śrīla Bhaktivedanta Thakura, first in Prabhupada, writes that one should know other people's level of devotional service, whether Kanishtha Adhikari or Madhyama Adhikari or Uttama Adhikari. So this takes training to be able to perceive, because these are broad categories, but they actually have their symptoms. Unless we learn symptoms of the advanced, of the different levels of devotees, then we remain on the Kanishtha Adhikari platform. At best, that's if we survive. Kanishtha Adhikari, especially in Kali Yuga, means to tread water in the ocean of material existence, in the ocean of Kali Yuga. And everyone who's not treading water is grabbing hold of our feet and trying to pull us down. Difficult. So to remain a Kanishtha Adhikari is not recommended. Therefore, one has to learn how to discriminate between the different levels of devotees, because without knowing what level we're on, we don't know who's higher, who's lower, and who's on the same level. If you imagine, or if someone imagines that they're a Mahabhagavat when they're actually Kanishtha Adhikari, then it's going to be very difficult for them to advance, because there's nowhere to advance except for down. So generally speaking, everyone who comes imagines themselves a good person, because everyone thinks they're a nice person. And any mistake they make is transcendental, because they're a devotee. And every mistake everyone else makes is because they're potentially a demon. We don't want to criticize, we just want to help them by pointing out everything they're doing wrong. We just want to give them good instruction so they can advance to becoming my servant. Therefore, to discriminate between what level we're on takes some knowledge and discrimination and experience. And then to be able to understand what level everyone else is on, that takes even more transcendental experience. Actually, the first one is to discriminate everyone else, and then we can gradually understand what level we're on. And then Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given us some information how we can understand who is a Mahabhagavat by their ability to convert others to become Vaishnavas. It's not easy to help people progress to become Vaishnavas. Now, everyone is in this Hare Krishna movement because we're following the five powerful process of devotional service, namely chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worshipping the deities, serving the devotees, and living in a holy place. Because we're performing these activities, therefore, naturally, there's some advancement. But to become discriminating transcendentally and have expertise in relationships with others, so that you know not only know how to praise them, you also know how to chastise them. You also know how to instruct them. So many different things. That takes transcendental expert discrimination and expertise. So when Prabhupada was here, even persons who are in a very low level of consciousness were able to achieve some level of consciousness by which they could take up the process with seriousness and engage in devotional service and try to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, by his ability to go around the world and make many different persons from different cultures and different religions, different states of consciousness, help them become conscious of Krishna by his example, by his precise instructions, appropriate precise instructions, indicates that if we want to choose someone to be in Mahabhagavat, we might as well take Prabhupada as the example. Now, as the scriptures are as self-evident, but they're not self-evident for those who don't find them self-evident. If you're blind, it doesn't matter how much the sun tries to convince you it's there, or anyone else tries to convince you that it's there, you can only understand it's there as much as you have sight. Similarly, those who have faith, they can try to inspire others to have faith only as much as they actually have faith. But they can inspire others to follow the process by which faith is developed. In other words, we may be blind, and we may not be 100%, we may not know Prabhupada any more than we know Krishna. Or we may know Prabhupada more than we know Krishna. It's an individual. Our state of consciousness is individual. Our experience is individual. But if we hear the process that's understandable to us, Taraka apratishta shutiya vibina nasavarishiryasyana vina dharma sitatvam nihitam guhayam mahadano yena katasabhanta. We have to choose someone to follow. Everyone has a goal. Now, our first business is understand our goal is love of God. That's what the business of the Hare Krishna movement is. Because we take so many goals when we come into the Hare Krishna movement, along with what we hear is the goal of love of God, whoever God is. We're supposed to love Him. Like every other religion, everyone, they say they love God, and if you ask them who God is, sometimes they say Jesus Christ. What does He look like? Well, I don't really know. What did He do? Well, there's a lot of things He supposedly did, but I'm not really quite sure. I don't really remember everything. What did He say? I don't know. I'll have to ask my priest. He probably knows what He said. And why do you love Jesus Christ? Because He died for my sins. Well, I'm glad you don't love me, because I'm not going to die for your sins. So to actually love, you have to know the person. And to know Prabhupada is not so easy to actually know, because Prabhupada is a spiritual being from the spiritual world. And He came here and manifested Krishna consciousness. And we know Him as much as we appreciate His example and we understand and follow His instructions. And that to that extent, that Krishna reveals Himself to us. And to that extent, we can appreciate Prabhupada, etc., etc. So that's good. That whatever faith we have in Prabhupada, whatever appreciation we have, whatever, etc., then we should try to understand that the result of that should be taking shelter of Prabhupada's instructions, especially those who are in His books. And try to assimilate the knowledge and try to apply in a practical way and try to understand as much as we can from other devotees what the focus of the Krishna consciousness movement is to develop love for Krishna, awareness of Krishna, first of all, by becoming aware of what He had to say and what He wants us to do, and then to do it in the proper consciousness, not only to the deities, but also to the with the devotees and with the innocent people, etc., because it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And then we can hear Prabhupada's expertise and inspiring others to do exactly what I just said. Otherwise, we may hear about Prabhupada and mistake, that maybe He forgot some verse, or maybe He said something which was inappropriate in our minds when we hear it now. Just like if you read Prabhupada's letters, then Prabhupada said specifically to different devotees what they had to hear, and probably what we're not supposed to be hearing. He didn't want everyone to read his letters. Matter of fact, he wrote a letter in 68 to Brahmananda, don't distribute my letters. So that was one of the first instructions no one followed. It's like someone writing, don't read books. And the first thing you do is you're reading his book. So Prabhupada said, don't distribute my letters because people will misunderstand what I'm saying. Therefore, when we look through his letters, we may seemingly think that there's contradictions, even in the conversations. Just like I'm giving this class, if you think in the next 3 minutes I'm going to be able to summarize everything perfectly so that everyone walks around here, away from here, enlightened, including myself. Well, I don't think you believe that, so I won't even say it. You have enough experience. So what to speak of Prabhupada's conversations? Where he's speaking to a particular audience, trying to explain Krishna consciousness to them, and we hear it as if every word that Prabhupada said is supposed to be applicable to every time, place, and circumstance. Well, we're wrong. We'll completely misunderstand if we only rely upon Prabhupada's letters or his conversations, and even his books. Unless we assimilate his books, the knowledge, we won't understand. That understanding will only come when Krishna sees, we're making an effort to understand. And making that effort to understand means to assimilate the knowledge if we can through the various sources so we can understand how to apply it to time, place, and circumstance. And if we can't do that, at least be sincere and try to pray to Krishna to help us. To try to do all kinds of services, as Prabhupada said at the end of the purport of 10.10 in the Bhagavad Gita, and to do everything with love, enthusiastically. Then Krishna will help us within the heart. Ultimately, he said, one way to have a bona fide spiritual master and be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he's not intelligent enough to make advancement, then the Supreme Lord will help him. The only qualification, he's willing to do all kinds of service with love. But still, we should take advantage of what Prabhupada gave us, namely his instructions, his books, and even his letters. But we should be very careful to reach conclusions that we know exactly what's right and what's wrong, and we know exactly what everyone should do. No, we should try to figure out what we're supposed to do. And then if we get that right, then Krishna will give us some insight to help others too. But if we're very much interested in what we think, we reach a conclusion and we're in ignorance, then our conclusion can only be possibly true to some degree, and it's false to some degree also. So we shouldn't be so sure that we know everything just because we've learned a little bit. Prabhupada once, the first, my initiating letter, my letter for initiation, because Prabhupada, I was in Buffalo, I got initiated, Prabhupada was in San Francisco. And as you can, if you listen to Prabhupada's memories, you'll find out that Prabhupada knew his disciples quite well. So I sent my request for initiation, my beads, and Prabhupada got the letter, and as I've told the story before, and he said, but there's no recommendation letter. So how can I initiate this boy? So Prabhupada's servant at that time said that, well, Swamiji, probably was Swamiji at the time. He said, I spoke to him on the phone. I don't remember speaking to him. And he seemed like a nice boy. So Prabhupada said, oh, you think he was a nice boy? Then I'll give him initiation. So Prabhupada, in my initiation letter, he wrote back to me. He said, you're right that we're all trapped souls under the influence of Maya, the illusory energy. And by now, we're giving you these beads, and by chanting Hare Krishna, you can become free from this control of the illusory energy. Please take assistance from your God brothers, and whatever, I forget that was the, take assistance from your God brothers. And later on, when Prabhupada came to Buffalo, when I was sitting in his darshan for a long time, actually, I got the opportunity, because no one else was there. And Prabhupada was by himself, so I had to talk to someone. So, and I was a student at the university, but I had afternoon classes, so I could sit all morning with Prabhupada. And one of the things Prabhupada said, he said, "Don't try and teach your God brothers lessons." And I said, oh, because I really believed I was, you know, sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to save this movement. It was quite shocking to me. One time I asked Prabhupada, because I had some really intense transcendental experiences before I joined. I mean, they were not just on the mental platform, they were actually real. But at the same time, I knew I was an illusion, so I couldn't figure it out. Wait a second, why is Krishna giving me all these transcendental experiences when I'm an illusion? What would it be like if I was actually not an illusion? So I took up the process of yoga, which I got immediately quite good at for some reason or another. I mean, I thought I was good at it at least. I was quite enthusiastic about it. And when I started to chant, I was chanting 25 rounds a day immediately. And I was sitting there I was, you know, doing things like I was imagining I was had yogic powers. I was dissolving clouds in the sky. And so I was sitting there with Prabhupada one time, and Prabhupada looked at me and said, because I was trying to see Prabhupada's aura. And Prabhupada looked at me and said, our process is bhakti, it's not mystic yoga. Hello. And then one time when I was with other devotees, I asked Prabhupada, if Krishna wants me to do something, Krishna doesn't want me to do something, how will Krishna know, tell me what to do? Because I actually had faith in Paramatma. He was speaking to me or something. So Prabhupada looked at me and started to laugh. He said, hey, you all know what to do. He said, you'll do the wrong thing. And everyone else started to laugh. And then Prabhupada gave me this look of compassion because he didn't want me to feel bad. So Prabhupada was completely aware of what was going on. I mean, I saw that many times. So we may imagine we're aware, you know, compared to someone who's in deep sleep, we may be asleep. But after all, we should understand we're asleep. And we should have some confidence by following Prabhupada's instructions. At least we woke up a little bit. And that if we continue following them, then we should wake up some more. And that should give us some appreciation that at least the Prabhupada's on some platform that we can't imagine, but it's worthwhile to obtain. So that's the most important thing we should understand. That we should get some appreciation as much as we follow by chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles, hearing the instructions, trying to develop proper relationships with others, with Krishna and with the devotees, with the innocent, with the non-devotees, those who are atheistic or antagonistic. Try to develop the proper relationship and see how Krishna reciprocates. Or as Prabhupada once wrote to me, he said, the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all of his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So that applies not only to me, it applies to everyone. If we try to chant Hare Krishna, etc., that will help us. But to get transcendental experiences, unless we have a lot of Sukriti from the past, then we have to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and work seriously to spread Krishna consciousness to our fellow associate devotees and also to the innocent and even to the atheistic to do what's necessary to help them. Then we'll get some transcendental illumination and discrimination and we'll be able to be fixed in the path and understand Prabhupada's position a little bit more clearly. So I'll stop there. I took too much time anyhow. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.